This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, we welcome you in our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson. It's Matt Steinmetz. And Steiny, I'm just going to get right to the point here. Warriors have won 9 in a row. Klay Thompson's hitting big shots. Some of the younger players are starting to contribute a little bit in the regular season. And Warriors look like they were in a tough place a couple of weeks ago, and now they look like they're ready to battle Phoenix maybe for the one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, what I was thinking when I was watching that game last night, especially that time in the second quarter when Warriors had, I think they had Curry, Thompson, Iguodala, Poole, and Kuminga, I think. And I was just thinking that they were Looney might have been on the floor. And I was just thinking, you know what? This team's like, they have five guys who are on the championship team still playing. And what I'm saying is I think you got to start looking at them as a championship team. And from this point, not that I'm saying from this point on, but for me, for this point on, I'm looking at them, okay, how do they win a championship? It's not about they're going to be a top four seed. They're clearly deeper than everybody thought. Klay's better than everybody thought. And, you know, something's gelling. So what I'm thinking is like, I mean, they're one of the four teams or five teams, whatever you want to do, that can win it. And so now I just start thinking, all right, what has to happen for them to win it?
No doubt. And I pause here briefly, and we don't have to get – I know there was a trade a little bit earlier. There's actually been another trade that's just gone down. The C.J. McCollum trade earlier going from Portland to the Pelicans. And just as we're sitting here, I saw it pop up. The Pacers and the Kings have locked in a deal. The Pacers and the Kings. And here's the report according to Woj. Domantas Sabonis is going to Sacramento, along with Jeremy Lamb and Justin Holiday, and the Kings, and this is surprising to me, Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson are going the other way. So we don't have to spend too much time on it, but it did just break as we're recording this. I'm surprised that the Kings are moving off of Tyrese Halliburton and they're sticking with De'Aaron Fox. That seems to be not a great idea.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, at the McCollum trade on the surface, you're like, huh? But you got like that one. I got to look really followed as much as, you know, other teams. But I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but Halliburton's the one guy I wouldn't have given up. Like the one guy to me who is salvageable. So what that tells me is, and I don't know why they would think this, because he's doing this for the Pacers and they're 20 and 35 or whatever they are. They think Sabonis can be like great, but he's already putting up numbers. So, but what else could they be thinking?
I mean, I would have liked this move if it was just De'Aaron Fox and you were keeping Halliburton. Like, I would like that better. Like, I would rather build it around Halliburton and Mitchell and Sabonis and then whoever. Maybe you're going to trade Harrison Barnes in the next couple of days. I don't love it. To me, you're picking the wrong guy to build around when you're picking to build around De'Aaron Fox, who's had 5 years and he's still not even an all-star.
It's mind-boggling. In a way.
It just seems like it's an awful trade on the surface. And maybe I'm
– Who else – who's the second player going from Indiana to the Kings?
Justin Holiday and Jeremy Lamb. So, you know.
Yeah, hey, you summed it up. So, you know. I think that's a terrible deal for the Kings.
It really does seem that way. I mean, that's – and again, maybe need a little time to digest it or whatever, but – and we don't have to spend the rest of our 20 minutes on it, but that's a little bit of a stunner. While we're on it, just what did you think of the McCollum deal? I mean, Portland has been in this mode for a while where they clearly were going to tear it down other than Dame, and he's been out, and so they're in a position where I don't think they care about trying to get into the play-in tournament or anything like that. They're just trying to build a new team around him to entice him to stay and to try and contend better than the last group did, which honestly is going to be tough because for all that group's faults, they still made it to a conference finals a couple of years back.
Yeah, it feels to me like Portland, they missed their window to win it all. They blew anything, but if they had a crack in the window, that's gone. But also, I feel like they've missed their window to trade one of their two big boys. Apparently, that's one though for sure that I gotta wait to see some of these guys who go from the Pelicans to the Blazers but I mean the Pelicans right now I think are in the play-in game, so. Or close to it. I think they're 10th.
Yeah, they got in. They flipped last night into that spot because Portland's been losing and they won. So, yeah, they're 10th right now.
I mean, is it preposterous to think that Zion comes back in a month or two and now all of a sudden they got some names out there they're throwing out there, McCollum and Ingram and Zion?
Yeah, I think all of these teams, actually, whether it's the Pelicans or Portland or Sacramento, I think the 10 spot is so bad right now. And I'm looking at it. You're 21 and 32. You're in the 10. So if you're 21 and 32 and you're in the 10, then that means you could make a bunch of moves. And like, could you really get that much worse than being in the 10? Like, I almost think all three of those teams are thinking, we'll change the mix and it might be a 34-35 win team anyway, but that still might be enough. So you might as well change the mix at this point.
Right. The bottom line is that if you're 13, the bottom line is you can stink and still be within sniffing distance of 10th.
Exactly. So let's get back to the Warriors again. Trade deadline coming up and some pieces are starting to move. Go ahead.
Now I'm looking at this Kings trade, and I don't like Buddy Hield a lot, but I mean Halliburton and Hield. I wouldn't give up Halliburton for Sabonis. Me, I don't know about you, maybe Hield lessens the value, but he's not that useless, Buddy Hield. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know about that trade.
Yeah, the instant reaction is, and look, Heald had to go. I think he might be an addition by subtraction, okay, to be honest, for that team. But okay, again, you're giving up shooting and you're giving up playmaking and you're giving up a young guard. Like, I think at this point, Halliburton has the potential to be a better player faster than even De'Aaron Fox was. And a winning player, a player that's more conducive to being on a team that actually is going to be a playoff team. Like, to me, in his second year, Halliburton already is trending to be in a much better place by his third, fourth, fifth year for sure than De'Aaron Fox was. Like, we know who De'Aaron Fox is now. Fifth year in, gets his numbers, still not even an all-star, isn't carrying a team or leading a team to a legitimate, you know, playoff spot. Sure, maybe a 34-win 10 seed. But, like, it's not – like, to me, that's the guy – like, I would have no problem with this trade if Fox was in the trade and Halliburton was not in the trade. Like, I would say, all right, fine. You're reshuffling the deck. You're building around your two young guards, Mitchell and Halliburton, and now you're bringing in Sabonis and some other veteran wing players. Fine. Like, let it, like, I would have no problem with that. But the sense here is that they are, as had been reported a couple of weeks ago, they think they can get there. They think they can still build it around Fox. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there.
I mean, good luck with that. Cause I don't think this, like, this combination is probably worse than the previous combination. But at the same time, it just, now you're losing a young guard that could have been something for you.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them thinking, all right, the Kings are thinking that, you know, Sabonis has another level that he has another level, that he's can be somebody like, and I don't want to say Bird, that's ridiculous, but somebody like, gosh, nobody's even coming to mind, but a far more dominant player than he is now, and guys can play off him, and clearly he's looking to Monty McNair. Clearly, he's thinking, all right, Fox, Barnes, and Sabonis, who's going to be really good. We got Rashawn Holmes. I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right, let's get back to the Warriors.
That's right. My bad.
No, it's all right. Let's get back to the Warriors. They've won 9 in a row. Things are clicking. Yeah, I was thinking about this last night. Maybe there is a greater margin for error for this team than we were giving them credit for. And what I'm talking about is, you know, Steph and Clay have found it on the same night a little bit more than they had been, but they're also not shooting it great every single night either. But this team's able to win enough. And I know it's a regular season versus playoffs, but I guess what I'm getting at is maybe Steph and Clay only have to be great together twice in a 7-game series, even against a good team. Maybe it's not 4 times, because this team still has enough that they do defensively, enough other good players, enough areas where they can exploit an opponent to where it can be maybe a little bit more like it's been lately, where even on the games where Steph and Clay aren't shooting it well throughout the game, they're coming up with some big shots in the fourth quarter. They're coming up with some big shots down the stretch in games, and they're helping this team win. But they're in that position because others, whether it's Poole, whether it's Wiggins, whether it's Kuminga, whoever it is, they're getting enough auto porters come through. Like, they're getting enough in other areas to where the two heavy hitters can carry them down the stretch and they can win. I think some of that does translate, especially in the early, you know, earlier in the second round of a series, of a playoff.
You know, I just keep feeling like they haven't, like, you can make a case that the Warriors haven't been together and they have another level. But I kind of feel like so many of the other teams that they've played or that have played, that they played, have another level. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like anybody's played great against them. And I feel like some of the teams they've played against who are buttoned up have exposed them a little bit, like Milwaukee, Phoenix obviously beat them. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I expect the Warriors to get better, but I expect other teams to get better too by the end of the season. At least I expect the Nuggets to be better. And I think you're starting to see that a little bit with Dallas and the Nuggets. Utah obviously has got to figure it out a little bit, but, like, I guess what I'm saying is it can't be this easy and they're just going to get to the NBA finals. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they've played well enough this year here's what I think. I think if they maintain their level of play, they might get to the NBA finals, but they shouldn't, that shouldn't be good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I
think they can play better, and I sure hope they have to play better to win a title.
Yeah, I think we've seen, to me, a lot of it depends on the matchups, but I think we've seen that they're not going to have to be perfect to beat Phoenix. Like, I think we know, like, they're not going to have to be as perfect as maybe we would have said in November, if that makes sense. Like, Phoenix is a really good team, great team, whatever, but it's just as fragile for them against the Warriors as it would be the other way around. Like, Memphis, for as tough as they play the Warriors, right? The Warriors have shown that they can beat Memphis shorthanded. Like, it's not like in a single game. Now, that doesn't mean if you take Draymond or Wiggins or somebody away for a series, you know, then we're having a different conversation. But I think, you know, there can be a game where, hey, maybe in game one, Porter goes off for 20, and maybe in game two, Jordan Poole scores 28, and you're up 2-0, and we're looking at the numbers, and it's like, boy, Steph was 40% in the first two games, and Clay, you know, Clay was 5 of 15 in the first game, and a little bit better in the second game. Like, I do think that margin for error does exist to a greater extent than maybe we've given enough credit to it to this point.
Well, I guess maybe that's why I came in talking about how I'm looking at them as a championship team now. Cause to me, the reality is I don't think they were very good last night. And I'm looking at this Oklahoma City team. So they got the Golden State Warriors coming into their place and they committed 10 turnovers. By the time there were 4 minutes left in the second quarter, they had 10 turnovers. Remember, they showed a graphic. It looked like the Warriors were kicking the ball all over. And they showed the graphic, and it said Oklahoma City 10 turnovers and the Warriors 7. And I'm thinking, how can you be a team like the Thunder? And I'm not saying they're a terrible organization or anything like that. I'm just saying, how can you be a team like the Thunder, who has a big boy at home, and they turn it over 10 times? They're not going to win that game. Like, that's a night that the Thunder have to play better. But the Warriors, to me, they might have gotten beaten by 16 teams last night, I thought. But maybe that's a sign of a good team. Hey, they know the level that they have to play.
Well, but they don't do that when they go play a better team. I mean, and we used to get into this conversation a lot. Like, they'd go in and play some of the lesser teams and not play great. And then they'd have one great quarter, or they'd have a great 8-minute stretch. I mean, they didn't even need to do any of that last night. They pretty much had control of the game by the early part of the second quarter and held control of the game really throughout. I mean, I know it got a little tight down the stretch, but it was one Klay Thompson. Like, they were never losing that game last night. No. Once it got down the stretch. And I guess that's what I'm getting at is, you know, they didn't play that game in Utah on New Year's Day. They played a much better game that they didn't play that game in Phoenix on Christmas Day, even shorthanded. Like, they know when they got to be buttoned up. And I think they've got a level that they can get to in those types of games that has to look, it's not perfect. It's not a finished product. I think, you know, if you're telling me they got to play the Lakers and the Grizzlies and the Suns and then maybe Milwaukee, and that's your four round path, look, that's going to be a gauntlet, and you're going to have to stay healthy. And there will be times along the way where they look vulnerable. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that they are better equipped than probably, I mean, every other team, with maybe the exception of the two teams that were in the finals last year of winning it. And I think there's even a little more margin for error with them against Phoenix than I think we're seeing, because they have shown an ability to make Ayton less of an issue. And they have shown, you know, Booker hasn't played well against him, to be honest. Like, Booker's kind of stunk against them. And if that's going to be the case, the Warriors are going to be in good shape. Chris Paul can get his numbers and control the game, but yet, you know, down the stretch, he's not, you know, Curry's the guy that's shimmying and hitting the big shot and making plays happen, you know, to win. And so I think this team is showing that they've got what it's going to take, assuming they have their own health, to be able to win these. And they may have a few more ancillary players that are able to contribute.
Well,
like not 25 minutes a game, but there's going to be the game where Kuminga played 15 minutes and it was a really good 15 minutes. And kind of like last night, like, they had nothing going last night. I thought Kuminga flipped the game. Like, he just came in and they start running a little pick and roll, and he's flying around, and all of a sudden they don't have really an answer for him. And I know it's OKC, but then the Warriors are ahead and they just take off. They're never really down the rest of the game. Like, I think they've got four or five players that can do some semblance of that on a given night.
Well, and that's really the, you know, to me, the last part. Guys who can do that on a given night, like, what kind of night are we talking about? Because the one thing I think is possible is, look, we're judging guys by the 55th game of the season where everything's clicking. Poole, Wiggins, and Kuminga haven't really even been to the playoffs. It's Poole and Kuminga have never been to the playoffs. Even Wiggins only been there 1 year, that five-game series. And I just think that's going to be something like, yeah, everything's fine and good right now, but it's going to get to the playoffs. And then those guys are likely to struggle more than they did during the regular season, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I'm wrong. And that's where, okay, well, what about our championship players? Well, Andre Iguodala with this back, you know, I was texting you this last night. You know, basically, let's look at it this way. If the Warriors go to the finals, you're going to have to play 20-plus playoff games, right? That's four or five-game series, probably more than that. But let's just use 20 conservatively, right? You think Iguodala's going to play more than 10 of those games in the postseason when they're playing every other night a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it looks like is Iguodala plays, let's say, you know, five games in the first round, and then maybe it's two more in the second round, and then he needs a break, and then he's back in the conference finals, and then maybe he's got to miss a game. I'd say 10 is a fair number. I mean, I'd probably take the over on that, assuming, because the one thing we don't know about Iguodala right now is, would he be playing, like if last night was a playoff game in a 1-1 series, would he have played 25 minutes and been fine? That
honestly would say, tell me where we are in the playoffs. Is it game two in the first series? Yeah, I'm walking off. Is it Western Conference Finals game six? I'm hanging there.
I don't think you're wrong. I guess, can they win it without Iguodala? Like, I'm starting to think they can win it without Iguodala.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm getting at, is to me, it's never going to be as cut. Or when I think of without Iguodala, I think of him going down tomorrow with the season ending injury. And the reality is that's not how it happens most of the time. It happens with, you know, and you might, you're probably better at this than I am, but I think we've talked about this before, but over the course of the Warriors' five championship years, when they went to the finals, they played a lot of games without one or two, like this. They've played games without Curry. They play games without, I think Durant missed a series once, maybe. Clay certainly, I think Clay's missed, you know what I'm saying? So they've, you know, I'll bet they've played with their normal starting five 75 or 80% of the time, maybe 80 in the playoffs, something like that. So they, I mean, they've been healthy, but they've won without guys.
They have. I mean, they won the whole conference finals in 2019 without Durant. And they've, you know, they've had against Portland. Yeah, they won that whole series. So it swept them.
They got a break there.
Sure, but I don't know who they were going to – I mean, yeah, if that had happened when you play in the – but that's part of the deal, though. Like, if that happens in the year where you play Houston, maybe you don't win. In fact, you probably don't. But you know what? It didn't. It happened the year you played Portland, and it right. And when Curry went,
I wasn't even thinking about a team that that beat him. I was thinking, just give me a team that'll take him to six there going into the finals. You know what I mean?
Well, that's- yeah, and I think the one thing you got to keep in mind is the war. It's fragile in all areas, right? Like, and what I mean by that is if Draymond Green misses a series against the Grizzlies, let's just say the right. Warriors are in big trouble going into that series. But you know what? Ja Morant could roll his ankle too, and the Warriors are sweeping. Like it's, you know, Chris Paul could, you know, all of a sudden he's got a hammy, you know, that pops up, and that series is over in five, as opposed to maybe being a seven game series. So, and the same thing you could be. You could say the same thing about the war. Like, as much as we are concerned about the Draymond injury, and he gave an update since we last talked about that, and you know, sounds like he's coming back at some point in March, and the hope is that he'll be all right. But what I'm getting at is, I think the Warriors are as equipped to handle a guy missing here or there as well as any other team. But if you're telling me a big boy is going to be taken away for an entire series, well, then that's going to be trouble. But that's the world that everybody lives in. Like if Jrue Holiday goes down in the finals, well, that's probably going to be the diff. You know, that's probably going to determine who wins the finals. If it's the Warriors and the Bucks or the Suns and the Bucks or whoever it is.
Right. I do think though, I think it's fair to keep more of an eye on the Warriors because their stars are older. You know what I mean? Like who are we keeping an eye on health wise more than everybody? Like we don't look at Ja, like we look at LeBron, Anthony Davis, Steph, Draymond, Clay. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, how old's Jrue Holiday? He's Curry's age, right?
Yeah, he's early 30s, I think.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, I would expect players 30 and older to get hurt a little bit more than under 30, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that makes sense. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast here for 95.7 The Game. We got to touch on this before we get out. Like, just what do you think of Kuminga? We've seen a little bit more of Moody, and just where things continue to stand with James Wiseman. I mean, I asked Bob Myers point blank last week, you know, what's a reasonable expectation for Wiseman? And you know, are you worried that if something happens to one of your bigs, that you almost have to make a move to protect yourself just in case? And the answer was he didn't know as far as what is reasonable on Wiseman, but the answer as far as the bigs were, sounds like Draymond's coming back. Wiseman is coming back at least. And Looney's playing you know, as much as he's ever played, they're not making a move for a big at the deadline. And it might bite him.
It might, but they've clearly talked about this a lot and said, and listen, they obviously still believe Wiseman can give them some minutes. Let's say the last 20 games of the year. How many have they played? Now, man, maybe not 20 now anymore. Well, yeah, last 20 games of the year, let's say. So he can still help. Kevon Looney, they're probably like, hey, this is his year. He just turned 26. He's going to play like a, you know, maybe this is his Iron Man season. You know, we think, you know what? Maybe this is year Looney's healthy. So they're just going to play him like that. And then Draymond is right now expected to come back, you know, right before money time. And he's Draymond Green. So you believe in that. So I think the Warriors have gone through every scenario like, okay, what if Looney gets hurt? Well, that's an issue. If Looney gets hurt, well, now you got to start thinking about where's Wiseman exactly. And if he's not ready to go, now they got to. Then I think they got to go out and get somebody, right?
At that point, they would have to go out and get somebody. But then, who are you going out and you getting at that point? That's really going to be a factor anyway.
We could come up with a list of names who could play 15 minutes for this team, but then
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
They given up. Who are they waiving outright?
And I think it would look, we go back and forth on this. I think it would have to be Bielitsa.
At this point,
the guy that it wouldn't be, it would be Damian Lee. I mean, to me, I would consider Juan Toscano-Anderson as the guy, because I think Damian Lee's ahead of him in the pecking order as far as being a wing player and can make a three consistently. But I think Bielitsa would be ahead of it. Like, think of it this way. Juan Toscano-Anderson is kind of a 4-5, but he also can play some three, right? Like, Bielitsa would be ahead of him in the big depth chart, right? And Lee would be ahead of him on the wing depth chart. So wouldn't that make it, like, almost in a way a no? But I don't think they would do that. I don't think and that's the bigger picture point, I think, when it comes to what Bob Myers had to say. They like the team, Stein. Like, they like the team that they have. And I think they want to keep the 15 plus two that they have right now going into the playoffs and hope that they're healthy enough to be able to make the run with it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with that. But, to me, you're right. I look at it in a way, Looney, Wiseman, and Draymond all in the same boat, because they all are – they're their big guys, essentially. And you need all three – well, you don't need all three of them. You need two of them. You must have two of them almost full-time, I believe. And the reality is they've got to be Draymond and they've got to be Looney.
Final one for you here.
And is until – and if Wiseman can give you anything, great. So until they find something out about Looney – I'm sorry, something about Draymond or Wiseman definitively, they're not going to – you're right. They're not doing anything.
How much is Kuminga playing in a playoff series right now?
It's a good question. I don't know. I want to see how all these guys play in the playoffs. Poole, I really want to see how Wiggins plays if they get into a second round series, because I have a feeling he's actually going to be half decent. I actually think Wiggins has a chance to, the one thing he's, and I don't know where the transition comes or when you start thinking about guys differently, but man, like, to me, everything he does is the same as he ever has done it, like shooting but he's just making more shots. You know, like he'll take a dribble and get an 18 footer. Well, he could do that in Minnesota too. And you know what? He'd miss every other one. Every other one he'd miss, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and then he'd drive to the lane and he'd make a finish, and then he'd drive again and he would. Like, he just didn't make enough shots. And now, in the context of the Warriors, you know, Curry gives it up, and now Clay gives it up, and shot clock's getting to six, and he's got a guy who's 2 inches smaller than him on the wing, and he knows he can just rise up. It's like, now all of a sudden he's making more than that. Like, he's just making more of those shots, and he's getting to the rim and making more, finishing more around the rim. It has not been like dramatic, but it's definitely been an uptick.
No, it has, and it gives him a chance. All right, let's call it on that note. We got a little derailed by the big Sacramento Indiana trade, so we'll reconvene here at some point in the next few days. We'll give you a bonus one. We didn't have one last week. We'll give a bonus one for next week. So for Steiny, I'm JD. We'll talk to you again soon here. Warriors Weekly Podcast, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.